All right, our text today, Matthew 5 and verse 5. Let's read it together. This is the inspired and inerrant word of the living God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We say with the psalmist today that your testimonies are our delight and our counselors. May we find joy in your word. May we find true happiness in the scriptures. May the word of God also instruct us today. May the Bible be our teacher in the power of the Holy Spirit here. Lord, we know that we lack so much in knowledge and wisdom. And so we pray that you would teach us. Teach us today how we are supposed to be. The kind of people you want us to be. The kind of lives that you want us to lead. We ask your blessing now on our studies. In Jesus' name. Amen. What do you think of when you hear the word meek? What does that make you think of? Maybe it makes you think of a particular person. Maybe it makes you think of a particular concept, whatever you think meek is. Well, here in the third beatitude, we are caused to think by the Lord Jesus about meekness. What is meekness? Now, before we dismiss it as something for other people, obviously it has the greatest importance because here it is in the Beatitudes in a description of those who belong to the kingdom of heaven, of those who are real, genuine Christians, believers, disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus makes us think about meekness today and its importance. And so as we come to our study of the third Beatitude this morning, we want to consider this idea of meekness and what it should mean to you and to me. We're going to begin today by talking about the condition. That is the condition of being blessed. And we see that throughout the Beatitudes as each one of them is prefaced with this word blessed. Then we're going to talk about the quality or the kind of person that is blessed by God, that's under the divine favor. And here today, it's the person who is meek. And then finally, there's a promise attached to the Beatitude, the promise of inheritance. Now, the last couple of weeks, we began our study of the Beatitudes. We covered the first and the second Beatitudes. The first Beatitude was about humility. It was about being spiritually poor, about this attitude before God that says, I need you, God. I'm nothing, you are everything, and I'm completely dependent on you. And we summed it up as the virtue of humility. That is a true and right view of yourself as a creature and seeing God rightly as the creator, seeing God as exalted and you as humble. That was the first beatitude. Last time we talked about the second beatitude, of course, and that was, blessed are they that mourn. Jesus pronounces a blessing on those who engage in spiritual mourning. And we said that that was about a certain attitude towards sin. Sin in our own lives, sin in the world, and sin in others. Those who belong to Jesus Christ and his kingdom are those who mourn over sin. We come now to the third beatitude, and the third beatitude, of course, has to do with this idea or this quality of meekness. Now, before we spend the time today on focusing on this one, I want you to just notice the connection between the first three. These qualities all go together. It's not that there are some people in the kingdom who are poor in spirit, and there are other people in the kingdom who are meek, right? But they don't share the same virtues. No, that's not the idea. The idea is that all those who follow Jesus Christ, who are members of the kingdom of heaven, are like this. This is what they're like. Not only are they poor in spirit, not only are they mourners, but they are also meek. They are also those who are characterized by meekness. Also, you can see how these things go together, right? You can see how a poverty of spirit, a humility, goes very naturally with meekness. The person who has a low estimation of themselves and a high estimation of God is a person who is going to be meek, who is going to be characterized by meekness. So these three Beatitudes, they go together. Even though we're considering them individually, Don't disconnect them in your mind. They all go together, and they are qualities that are tied to each other and should be exhibited in the lives of all God's people. Now, of course, the condition for the meek is that condition of being blessed. And I won't belabor the point that we've already made about being blessed. This is the idea of being truly happy, being fortunate and favored by Almighty God. So when Jesus says, blessed, and then he gives this type of people, this group of people, he's saying these are the people who are truly happy. These are the people who are blessed by God. These are the people who are under the divine, the divine favor. That's the basic idea. Now, what is the quality today that is in focus for those who are blessed? Well, of course, it's the quality of meekness. Blessed are the meek. Now, the first thing I want you to notice this morning is this is a quality of character. This is a description of someone's character, of what they are like, of who they are as a person. Of course, that flows out into their actions, into things they do and things they don't do. But the condition of being blessed largely revolves around character. Right? Being poor in spirit was an aspect of one's character. Although mourning is something that we do, it's something that flows out of a certain character of a person. And the same is true of being meek. It's a character quality, a spiritual quality. So the first lesson here right off the bat is, if you want to be really genuinely happy, if you want to stand under the smile of God, it doesn't matter what you have. Happiness does not consist in the abundance of possessions or things. It exists in these qualities of character that Jesus is talking about. You could have nothing and still be truly blessed if you are meek. If you have this quality of meekness, you could lack the latest in today's technology. You could lack the latest in today's fashions or money or possessions or whatever it may be. You can be truly blessed by God and sit in the deepest, darkest dungeon. How's that possible? We tend to think blessed and happy is, I've got all these things I want. I want this and I want that. These possessions and money and success and status. And then this funny thing happens. You might get your hands on a little bit of that, and guess what? You realize that's not where it is. Because there's plenty of people who have that stuff who are miserable, who are not blessed by God, who are not under the favor of God. So what should we be focused on? We should be focused on spiritual character. That's where our focus should be. Not on things, not on money, possessions, fame, all those things. Our focus should be on character. Jesus tells us that it is the meek who are blessed. So what does that mean? That's the million-dollar question today, is it not? What does it mean to be meek? We're going to spend the majority of our time today thinking about that word and its meaning and what it looks like in everyday life. First, let's start with a little bit of language. The Greek term for meek here is praus, praus. And if you were just to try to define the Greek term itself, you could define it as mild or gentle. Or you could even give it the idea of tame. This word and this concept of being gentle or mild, or we'll say in a few minutes, humble, has a deep Old Testament background. And let's think about that for a moment. When Jesus here says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, it's not an exact quotation from Psalm 37, but it's pretty close. That's why we read Psalm 37 this morning in the scripture reading, so you could see that this isn't a brand new idea that Jesus just pulled out of thin air. No, Jesus is giving you the same concept that the Old Testament gave you in Psalm 37. Let me read it again. Psalm 37, verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So that's what Jesus is drawing on. He's drawing on Psalm 37 in this third beatitude. Now, we've seen that already, right? Each of the first three beatitudes have drawn from the Old Testament in the idea or the concept that Jesus is giving us. The first beatitude looked back to Isaiah 66. The second beatitude looked back to Isaiah 61. And now this third beatitude looks back to Psalm 37. And you could also see it as going back to Psalm 61 as well. Psalm 61:1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to" who? To the meek. Okay, so you see the Old Testament roots of Jesus' statement here, blessed are the meek. Now, the Hebrew word for meek, anav, and words like that, refers to someone who is humble, needy, afflicted, and poor. That's give you a flavor for the general idea of someone who is meek. It is someone who is in this lowly position, this humble position. They may be in circumstances of affliction and hardship, and they're looking to God for help and for salvation. Now, the first thing we need to say in trying to define this a little bit further and understand it on our level is that meekness is not about natural temperament. Okay? We've said this a couple of times in our study of the Beatitudes, and it's worth reiterating today. Jesus is not pronouncing the blessing of God here upon just certain kinds of people. There just are some people that are meek and other people that aren't. Right? Don't we usually talk that way? We speak that way and think about people who exhibit some of the characteristics, maybe on a superficial level sometimes. Some of the characteristics of meekness, or we might say humility, and we say, well, they're meek. They're kind of a meek and mild sort of person. Whereas this guy over here, he's ready to fight. He's kind of harsh and severe sometimes and things like that. But this isn't about that, is it? I think if you stop to think about it for a minute, you'll realize Jesus is not saying, blessed are some people who come into the world with this quality. How do you know that? Well, look at the first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for what? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Look at the last beatitude, verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Who are we talking about? We're talking about disciples. We're talking about Christians. Those who've been born again, who are part of the kingdom of heaven. We're not just talking about people in general, or people who exhibit certain qualities of character, so to speak. In addition, verse 5, look at the end of it. Blessed are the meek, for what? They shall inherit the earth. How do you know Jesus is not talking about natural temperaments and dispositions? Well, you know it from that, from the promise. People who aren't believers don't inherit the earth. They aren't ultimately those who inherit all things. We'll come back to that in a little bit. All right, so this isn't about natural temperament. It's not about just, well, some people are like that and other people aren't. It's not about that. In addition to that, we should also say there's such a thing as counterfeit meekness. There's something that looks like it, but it's not really the real thing. It's not the real deal. Now, you might have counterfeit money that looks very similar. And if you just glanced at it from over here, you might say, well, that looks real. That looks like a dollar bill or a 20 or whatever. But when it gets up close and you start to examine the features of it, you realize, oh, that's a counterfeit. That's not the real thing. Well, meekness can be like that because sometimes it's mistaken for something else. I ask you at the outset of the sermon today, what do you think of when you hear the word meek? And probably something popped into your head. Sometimes people think of someone who is meek as someone who is weak, right? They're passive. They're scared to do anything or touch anything or act and do anything, right? That's the meek person. right? They're walking along the path and they wouldn't step on an ant. They would just be terrified that they've offended someone or hurt a bug or something like that, okay? And sometimes we think, well, that's the meek person. And we say, well, I don't really want to be like that. That's not really, you know, something that I think of as a quality I want to have. Let's think about a couple of examples now that will tell us that meekness is not about weakness in a certain sense. It's not about timidity or cowardice. It's actually about the direct opposite of that. So let's think of a couple of examples here. First, let's go to the Old Testament. Moses. Did you know that Moses is said to be the most meek man on the face of the earth, at least at the time that he lived? Now, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Think back to Moses. Think of his humility, of his gentleness, of his submission to God, of his putting up with all that stuff in the wilderness over and over again. But you can also think of Moses as someone who acted courageously, someone who was strong in a spiritual way, in a good way, a right way. Moses was meek, but Moses also ordered the execution of the idolaters with the golden calf incident. So meekness is not about being too timid to do anything, being too timid to act, and not wanting to hurt a fly or something like that. What about Jesus? We'll talk more about the Lord Jesus here in a few moments as it relates to meekness. But Jesus says of himself in Matthew's gospel here, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek." Jesus claims this quality rightly for himself. Jesus is the epitome of meek, the epitome of gentle, the epitome of humble, lowly, and all of those things. But yet, it was Jesus who made a whip of small cords, went into the temple, and started flipping tables over, and animals going everywhere, and money flying, and driving people out of the temple. Well, you say, well, that's not meek. Yes, it is. See, meekness is not about not doing anything, or being timid, or refusing to stand up for God and his honor. Okay, Jesus was meek, but yet he drove the money changers out of the temple. All right, so we took a good deal of time there to talk about what meekness is not. Let's think a little bit more about what it is now, positively. Now, meekness is one of those things that's just hard to define. It's kind of like love. Pastor, what's love? What would I do if you asked me what love is? Well, I would start using all different kinds of words to describe it. And I might give you examples, illustrations, stories. I might point to someone or something and say, there it is. That's it, right there. Meekness is sort of like that. It's hard to give you one word that sums it up or one sentence that sums it up because it involves different things. Okay? A.W. Pink puts it this way, "For there is no single term which is capable of fully expressing all that is included in this virtue." You can't just use one word and you put your finger on meekness and what it is because it involves different things. Let me give you some definitions or some quotes from leaders in the church from the past, and you'll see how they define it a little bit differently and come at it from different angles, okay? Let's start with the church father, Augustine. He says, "The meek are they who resist not wrongs and give way to evil, but overcome evil of good." John Calvin, the reformer. "By the meek, he means persons of mild and gentle dispositions, who are not easily provoked by injuries, who are not ready to take offense, but are prepared to endure anything rather than do the like actions to wicked men." Matthew Henry, the great Puritan Bible commentator. "The meek are those who quietly submit themselves to God, to his word and to his rod, who follow his directions and comply with his designs, and are gentle towards all men, who can bear provocation without being inflamed by it, are either silent or return a soft answer, and who can show their displeasure when there is occasion for it, without being transported into any indecencies, who can be cool when others are hot, and in their patience keep possession of their own souls when they can scarcely keep possession of anything else. They are the meek, who are rarely and hardly provoked, but quickly and easily pacified, and who would rather forgive 20 injuries than revenge one, having the rule of their own spirits. On and on we could go. And you see, they approach it a little bit differently and maybe give you some different concepts and ideas that are inherent in this idea of meekness. Okay, so now let's talk about this meekness, and I want to focus in on some of the different qualities of meekness or of the person who is meek. First of all, we should recognize that meekness goes this way and that way. What do I mean by that? The meek person has a certain relationship with God. It involves trusting God. It involves submitting to God and not being rebellious toward God. So you say, what is the meek person like in their relationship with God? The meek person is the one who says, "Yes, Lord, I do whatever you say. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears," like Samuel, the Old Testament judge and prophet. But meekness also has this horizontal dimension as well. The meek person deals with others in a certain kind of way. And we'll touch on both of these as we move along here. Okay, here we go. First, to be meek is to be humble. In some ways, meekness and humility are like synonyms. You could say of someone who is humble, you could also say of them that they are meek. Because these two qualities, although not exactly synonymous, they are joined at the hip. They are peanut butter and jelly. They go together. Meekness and humility. The meek person is a humble person. Listen now to this statement Jesus makes that we quoted just a few minutes ago, and listen to how he connects humility with meekness. "Take my yoke upon you," Jesus says, "and learn of me, for I am meek," here we go, "and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Or the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Ephesians, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness, humility, and meekness." Two go together. So the meek person is the humble person. It's the person who thinks much of God and not very much of themselves. It's the person who has a right view of themselves and is not seeking to promote themselves, but exalt and honor God. How hard is that to do? It's tough, is it not? Your natural propensity, your natural inclination is to take yourself and exalt yourself. And say, this is about me, what I want, what I need, what my rights are. Now, of course, nobody in this room would say those words to me. I know that. You're like, "Pastor, I can't think of anybody who talks like that, who says, man, this thing is about me." But that's how we act many times, is it not? That the world revolves around me and what I want. You know what's a good test on whether that's true with you or not? And let me fill you in on a little secret. It is true of you. It's true of you, and it's true of me too. Let what you want not happen. There's your test. Something you really want. "I want this," and you don't get it. What happens? Get angry? Get upset? Start lashing out at people? Yes, we all do that from time to time, don't we? What's fueling that? A lack of meekness. A lack of humility. A desire to put myself, my needs, my comfort, my honor at the very center of all things. But the meek person is the opposite of that. The meek person gets down low and honors God and exalts God. So that's your first characteristic of what meekness is about. Meekness is about humility. Number two, meekness is about being gentle. Gentle. This is inherent in the very definition of the word. One of the definitions of meek is gentle, mild. Now that gentleness could come out physically, in how we physically interact with one another, and that gentleness should come out emotionally or relationally, and how we deal with other people. The Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 10:1. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Titus 3:2. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. We are not to be harsh people. We are not to be violent people. We are to be gentle people. Does that describe you? In how you interact with and relate to other people. It should. Christians are meant to be a gentle people. A people who deal gently with others. A people who are willing to extend forgiveness, mercy, kindness, rather than harshness and severity when it is not called for. So a meek person is a gentle person. Third, a meek person is a trusting person rather than a vengeful person. Psalm 37 teaches us this. Psalm 37 is an encouragement to the people of God not to take matters into their own hands, not to look around them and see what the evil are doing, what the unbelieving are doing, and become anxious and worried and angry about it. But the person of God, the meek person, is able to deal with wrongs committed against oneself, to patiently bear those things without lashing out, without retaliating and returning evil for evil. Psalm 37, verses 7 and 8. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way. Because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass, cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. What is that? That's meekness. Meekness, or the meek person, is the person who sees or is even having wrong things done to them. They are experiencing injustice in some way, and they are patiently bearing it. They are patiently dealing with it. And not returning evil for evil. Let me give you a biblical example. Do you remember when David and his men were on the run from Saul? And they came into Naboth's territory. Sorry, not Naboth, Nabal. Right? And all David did was ask for some provisions, for some food. He and his men were out there. They had actually looked after some of Nabal's men and taken care of them, and they expected something in return, expected some fruit, some food, some refreshment, things like that, maybe some help, some assistance along the way. And you know the story. Nabal sends back this harsh, violent answer toward David. And what does David want to do? How does David want to respond to that? Well, he wants to strap on the sword and go kill every last one of those people. Right? Now you say, Pastor Nick, I would never do that. I would never act in that way. Well, it's just because you don't have a sword handy. Think about how you react to things sometimes when someone does you wrong. When someone insults you. When someone speaks evil of you. When someone defrauds you in some way, you are ready to what? You're ready to fight. Maybe even with your trusty right hand and left hand. You might even be willing to do that. We say, well, church people don't do that. They don't? Oh, yeah, they do. That's not the way it's meant to be, brothers and sisters. Not meant to be that way. You're not meant to be that way as a Christian. That everything's fine until I get crossed. Everything's just good and I'm happy and I'm easy to get along with until someone says no to me. Until someone says, nope, we're not going to do what you want. Nope, we're not going to do what you say. Then what happens? Then what is your attitude? Meek and mild? Gentle and humble? Submissive to God and His Word? Now, I'm not just preaching at you. I'm preaching to me too. All of us. You see that tendency in yourself, I'm sure. It's the opposite of this quality. It is the direct opposite of who Jesus wants you to be. He wants you to be meek, gentle, willing to be offended, willing to be injured, willing to be done wrong and not give the same right back to the person. To put it in the words of the Apostle Paul, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. You say, well, he did me wrong, I'm just going to give it right back to him. Well, he talked that way to me, so I'm going to talk that way right back to him. That's not the Christian spirit. That's not the Christian disposition. No, the Christian quality of character is meekness. And as we mentioned a few moments ago, this is the character of Jesus. If you want to know what meek looks like, you need go no further than just look at the Savior. And you get a glorious, perfect picture of the meek person. He stated it of himself, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And he exemplified it in his actions. When he was mistreated, what did he do? When he was abused and reviled, what did he do? He refused to give it right back, right? Peter says it this way, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judges righteously. He was gentle and tender with people, kind-hearted. Jesus allowed wicked men to lead him to the slaughter, and he humbly, gently submitted to it. As they were punching him, as they were spitting and slapping him, he was taking it. That's what meekness looks like. It looks like taking it and entrusting yourself to God, giving yourself to the Lord, committing yourself to Him. So, here's another reason why I told you this isn't about natural temperament. Because none of us are naturally like that. None of us are naturally, oh, well, people just did me wrong. It's okay, God's going to take care of it. That's not a natural quality. Even if you're a Christian, sometimes it rises up in there, doesn't it? Sometimes it rises up and you want to say, I'm going to fight for my rights. I'm going to fight for myself. I'm going to punch back. So it's not a natural thing. How does it get produced in the life of a Christian? It gets produced by the Holy Spirit. You've got to be born again to be truly meek. You've got to experience salvation to be this kind of person that Jesus is talking about. Remember the fruit of the Spirit, right? Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. It's produced by the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. So are you meek? Could you be described as meek? You say, oh, Pastor, that's just not me. I'm just not that kind of person. I just can't stand it when people do me wrong and I'm just going to get them back. It doesn't work that way. Not according to me, but according to Jesus. Jesus says, blessed are the meek. Blessed are those humble, poor, afflicted, gentle souls who are willing to trust themselves to God and deal with whatever and not retaliate. That's the true Christian. That's the picture of the true believer, the person who is meek. Now, none of us are perfect, right? None of us are perfect in terms of meekness, humility and gentleness and all those things. But it should be something that's in your life if you call yourself a Christian. It should be something that's growing, that you're actually cultivating. You know, it's the time of the year to get out in the garden and cultivate, right? You want those tomatoes to grow, or cucumbers, or whatever it is. I wish we could grow pizzas in the yard. That'd be great. I'd be out there all day cultivating that thing. Especially the meat trio plant. That's the one I like. We do that, right? We put a lot of work and effort into growing food, if you're into that sort of thing. Or somebody does somewhere. It comes from somewhere. The grocery store didn't produce it. But do we put as much effort into this kind of thing? Growing meekness and humility by the grace of God in our hearts and in our lives. This is the kind of person you're supposed to be. This is a disciple of Jesus, the meek person. All right, what is the promise attached to or given to the meek? Blessed are the meek, for they shall what? Inherit the earth. Well, that's a big promise, is it not? Notice the word for. The word for connects the first part of the Beatitude to the second part. Why are the meek blessed? They're blessed because theirs is the inheritance of the whole earth. It belongs to them. Now, this idea of inheritance has deep Old Testament roots, right? When you think about inheritance, your mind should go to Old Testament Israel. God promised Abraham an inheritance. He promised him and his descendants the land of Canaan, that it would be theirs, that it would be their special possession. And so you can't help but hear that word and think of that inheritance. Psalm 37 as well. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shall you dwell in the land. Psalm 37, verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. How do we get to a place where we are those who inherit the earth? Well, most people try to fight and scheme to get there. They try to insist on their rights. They put themselves forward to get what they feel they want and need. That's how it's usually done. Think about the toy store at Christmas time when there's some really popular item. I know none of you would ever do this. I hope not. You know, it's the toy store where there's the latest thing, right? And there's a gabillion people in the store, and they're all trying to get to the shelf with this one thing on it. And here you've got these grown adults elbowing each other, shoving each other out of the way to get it. They want their little piece of the pie, whatever it may be. Who is it that gets the land? Isn't it the violent? The aggressive? The domineering? Isn't that who gets the land in the end? Not according to Jesus. It is the meek who inherit the earth. Now, if we think about this in light of the whole Bible, I think you'll come to the conclusion that what Jesus is here promising is everything. Not just the land of Canaan, not just a strip of land in the Middle East, but the world. Why would I say that? Well, because we know that when the promise was made to Abraham about an inheritance, it was not just about that narrow strip of land over there. It was greater than that. How do I know that? Romans 4:13. For the promise to Abraham that he should be the heir of the world. That word world is cosmos, universe. Abraham was promised to be the heir of the universe. Not just for him, but also for his seed. The Apostle Paul also teaches us that believers ultimately inherit absolutely everything. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, he says. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, the world, life, death, things present, things to come, all are yours. Or the promise of the book of Revelation, he that overcomes will inherit all things. Wow. How about that? The meek, the genuine disciple of Jesus Christ, gentle, mild, humble, submissive, owns it all. Everything. You say, well, it sure doesn't look like it. Not now. Not now. It looks like the rich, the famous, the strong, the aggressive, even the violent, they get it. They get all the good things. And sometimes we're looking at them like, why are they enjoying all the good stuff? That's because the world is upside down right now. But one day, it will be turned right again. And the meek will inherit the earth. Is that you? Are you one of the meek? If not, the path to becoming one of the meek is to repent of your sins and put your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one person who can make you meek, and it is the King of meekness. It's Jesus Christ himself. And if that's you, a believer who is genuinely meek, this is your destiny. All things will be given to you. The heirs of the universe are the meek. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious beatitude. Oh Lord, sometimes we are deceived. We are tempted to think that we just need to grasp our piece of the pie. We need to shove others out of the way and get what we need and what we want, rather than trusting in you, rather than submitting our lives to you and dealing gently with others and being that meek man, that meek woman that you've called us to be. Oh Lord Jesus, help us to stop looking at the models the world gives us, the proud, the arrogant, the vainly ambitious, and help us to set you before us, the one who is meek and lowly in heart. Give us grace, Lord, to do these things. And we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. As you leave today, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.